This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to Andy Steer, VP and CTO of Itelligence UK, an NTT data company. We're here at ITILI 2019 in London. Andy, could you tell me a little bit about your role and who Itelligence are?
As you said, I'm Chief Technology Officer for Itelligence in the UK. Interestingly, I guess a lot of my time is spent as Chief Talking Officer. I seem to spend a lot of my time talking with SAP and talking with customers about the impacts that technology can make on improving their business models. The secret, I guess, with Itelligence, if we want to call it a secret, is we're actually one of SAP's largest partners globally. We have revenues of approaching 1 billion euros, all derived from SAP and SAP-related services.
Has SAP lost the battle of CRM with Salesforce?
Good question. So I don't think SAP are trying to win the battle of CRM with Salesforce. I think they're trying to win the war of customer experience. And I think that's different from CRM.
You're seen as experts in SAP. Obviously, you won a Platinum Partner Award this year. This year, SAP bought Qualtrics. They obviously introduced the integration into some of their products from Qualtrics this year. And the big thing around Sapphire was ONX data. How is that going to change their view and your view of the intelligent enterprise going forward? What difference is going to be this year to last year?
That's the million-dollar question, really. It's very clear to us that SAP's vision for bringing together the experience data with the operational data is a very sharp move, in my opinion. It puts them ahead of, I think, where most of their direct competitors are going, with the ability to be able to join up the front office and the back office with a real innovative offering. What it means in real terms for the intelligent enterprise, I was talking to some of our guys internally a couple of weeks ago about some of these areas, and somebody said to me, if we can harvest this experience data, then we can iterate and increase the intelligence of the intelligent enterprise. What it gives us the opportunity to do really is to be much more focused in improving what we deliver through capturing that experience data. And hopefully that's what we'll start to see with these integrations. And I think the first set that are coming through around success factors for driving employee experience internally, I think that's a good place to start, because I guess proving it internally is a little bit easier to get started with maybe than running external things.
Your background's in BI and analytics. You talk about intelligence, but is that looking back? Because that's some of the things I keep on hearing is about we're collecting this data, we're analysing it. The next stage is surely applying AI onto that data and that intelligent insight. So where are we in that and where do you see it going?
I'll answer it in two ways. Let's talk about technology first. Where we are in technology is technology is no longer a barrier to either looking back on huge volumes of data or predictively with smarts looking forward and looking at things. So that's not an issue for us anymore. But from a cultural perspective, a lot of organizations are still doing decision making in the rearview mirror. They're still storing old data, looking back and trying to make guesses and things of what they should do. My hope is that a lot of the analytical raw power and expertise that comes in through Qualtrics will help to really drive that forward-looking view as well.
That's a cultural change, though, isn't it? It's not just a technology change, and it drives out the importance of change management in organisations, doesn't it?
It does. However, one thing that gratifies me a lot is when I talk to customers about business problems, many of them are defaulting into a data-driven view, and they're bringing expectations of things like predictive analytics and machine learning. And they're bringing those expectations from their experiences as a consumer of other services. Everybody's familiar with the Amazon experience. For people who bought that, bought this, you may be interested in buying these things, here's some special offers. Almost subliminally or by osmosis, we're changing our views and our expectations on what we want within our organizations when we go to work. So I start to see not necessarily people saying, oh, I've read this white paper on predictive analytics, can we do something? I see people saying, well, when I can see my credit card app predicting what I'm going to spend next month in certain areas, why can't I do that with my cash balance internally within my business? So they're starting to translate that way.
One of the problems with AI is you've got to build the mathematical models around that predictive analytics. And it's not general intelligence. It's not general predictions. It's very use cases. Where do you see people creating those use cases? Is Itelligence doing some work in that space?
We've been doing some work, and I tend to be careful about using AI. So I tend to talk more about machine learning and advanced analytics. Now, for sure, we're doing a lot of work in those areas. We did some work last year with Pret A Manger, for example, to look at demand planning, predicting based on weather, sporting events and those sorts of things so that they could get the right sandwiches on the shelves in their stores. We also see, without a shadow of a doubt, for many organizations, building block, pre-built predictive and machine learning can start to really move things for them without getting too complicated. Lots of projects never go out of development. They never get into production because people try to do things that are too complicated. My view is look at simple things, classifications, churn models, affinity models, these kind of things, and get started and then prove the value and then do things that are more complicated later.
And we're starting to see some of those use cases being embedded with an S/4HANA as well, aren't we?
That's the key thing. A lot of the advanced analytics are becoming commoditized. And in fact, my goal from all of my time working in analytics was to see analytics disappear as a separate topic. So it just is delivered in the application. You just have smart applications. With S4, with things like the cache management, some of the predictive maintenance things, we're starting to see that come to fruition.
One of the wrappers that people talk about around this whole thing is that horrible two words, digital transformation. We heard on stage Chris Yules talk about how he canvassed his IT department about digital transformation and what it actually meant, what digital meant, and he got a plethora of different answers. What does it mean to iTelligence?
I try to be pragmatic on these things, and I try to get down to real conversations with people about what they're looking to do. In my mind, there are, I guess, three areas that I see organizations trying to transform or needing to transform. One is around IT systems that they currently have. So legacy challenges, technical debt, those kind of things. We just simply cannot run these systems anymore. We need to do something new and something different. Most organizations are in that position, say, well, let's look at what we could do rather than just saying, what's the immediate replacement for this thing we have? So that's driving some transformation.
That's jumping generations of technology, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's not a very glamorous one to talk about, but it's a reality. It's a fact for many businesses. Risk is too high. We're running this thing. No one knows how it's supported. Problem. The second one is what we were talking about just before, which is experiences from outside of your work life that are changing your expectations of things inside your work life. So I use this app to do this thing. Why can't I get data that easily in work? Then the third one, of course, is what generally people talk about when they get ranting off on digital transformation, which is the erosion of business models, the uberification of particular sectors and things. And clearly we're seeing that. But to give you a simple example, one of our customers who are really winning in their sector, Smith's Toys, the retailer. It doesn't take long to Google and see what happened with Toys R Us over the last couple of years, etc. Smith's Toys are a bricks and mortar retailer with an exceptionally strong SAP Hybris driven commerce platform, and they're growing massively, hugely successful. Would you look at their business and say that they're fundamentally digitally transforming? Maybe somebody would be creative and write it up in that way, but they're doing the fundamentals and they're doing them right. They're building the right experiences for customers. They're delivering the right processes. So they've got short supply chain information. They've got very key things that they can deliver to their customers. Click and collect, next day delivery, all of those things. So we see a lot of value coming in those areas.
The mission statement of iTelligence is transforming trust into value. And it's heard on stage. And one of the things I think Norbert said was about how you like to build long-term relationships. And to do that, you've got to have trust between that. How do you go about building that trust?
iTelligence has been around for 30 years, 30th anniversary this year. When I stood on the stage today at our conference and looked out at the nearly 800 delegates in the room, there's a lot of people there who've been doing business with us for 10 plus years, some which have been 20 plus years. The reality is we're in a service industry. We deliver services to customers who run SAP. We make sure their SAP systems run well. If your SAP is the heart and lungs of your business and it doesn't run well, you have a significant problem. So the trust, I think personally, comes from saying what you'll do and doing what you say. It's as simple as that.
You also add on top of that innovation, don't you? Mm-hmm. And that's a differentiator, surely. What is the approach to innovation?
Our approach to innovation is, I think, is again pragmatic, because I think we're a pragmatic organization. I genuinely do. You won't see us endlessly creating flights of fancy with technology just for the sake of it. So the example last year that we showed in the morning at our conference was a drone using machine learning and computer vision to spot issues on a bit of pipeline. Many people said, oh, that's really good, that was entertaining, thanks for showing that. This year we won an SAP Innovation Award for taking that solution into production, but rather than looking for rust on pipelines, we're looking for hogweed invasion on agricultural land. We try and put the innovation next to real business requirements. And this year you may also have seen our AI avatar for Kia Motors that we've produced in Denmark, which again is taking innovative technologies but applying them to a real world business case.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Okay, thank you, Steve.